Hallelujah. We've been talking about standing. Standing firm with confidence. You can open up to Romans chapter 5. Now, I'm going to read to you this from the Amplified. Just so if you're looking and saying, where is he at? Well, we're going to go with the Amplified. Romans 5, chapter 2. Or verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 2. There we go. Therefore, since we have been justified, that is, acquitted of sin, declared blameless by God by faith, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God and the joy of reconciliation with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through Him, we also have access by faith into this remarkable state, grace, in which we firmly and safely and securely stand. Let us rejoice in our hope and the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of our great God, the manifestation of His excellence and power. The joy of our reconciliation comes through our relationship with Jesus, who became our justification, taking away the guilt of our sin and so making way for peace with God. That was God's plan, to have Jesus wipe out the sin, removing the obstacle between Him and His creation, that is us. Through Christ, we have access by faith into God's grace. And His Word says, His grace is sufficient for us, for His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. Where you are weak, He is strong. In His grace, we stand safely, securely, and we stand firmly. As we stand firmly, we can rejoice with confidence. Confidence of seeing the manifestation of His greatness, His strength and His might, and in the power in our lives, the power of the Holy Spirit. Because in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it said, and it said, I shouldn't say it, because this is Jesus. Jesus said this. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's where we get the power from the Holy Spirit. Welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. You had a little dab of do you when you got born again, but you need the full baptism of the Spirit. Amen. And it will waken you up in spirit. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, it said we are to stand firm and hold our ground. Stand firm and hold our ground. And that's because we're in a fight. And we fight the good fight of faith. Do we not? James 4, verse 7, submit to the authority of God. You know, that's hard for some people. Submit to the authority of God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Stand firm. You'll send him running. Stand your ground. No giving in for the believers. No retreating. Not for a believer. Believers move mountains, and that's us. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, it says, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. We've heard those words before, have we not? All the way back up when God talked to Joshua, right? What did he tell Joshua? Be strong and very courageous. Because he says, I'll be with you. I'm never going to leave you. And he tells you the same thing. So you can be strong and very courageous. Because he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's there with you the whole way. The whole way. He doesn't go part of the trip and then get off. He's there till the trip's over, folks. I was going to read you another version of that, but I'll skip that for now. Anyhow, standing firm in the faith. Standing firm in the faith. You know, as soon as we recognize thoughts of fear, doubt, discouragement, anxiety, or temptation, we must choose. See, we must choose to guard our minds against the deception of the enemy. You hear what I said? It's a deception of the enemy. And we must choose to think God thoughts. Okay? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. The Passion Translation says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Don't be worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. When you pray, believe, you receive. When? That's faith-filled. And then you continually thank Him. Yeah, thank Him. Tell Him every detail of your life. He likes communication, folks. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. Verse 8, so keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Always. See, what we put in our minds determines what comes out in our words and our actions. Your words and your actions are determined by what we put into our minds. We need to stop and examine what we are putting into our minds through the television, through the movies we watch. How about the internet and social media? About the books and magazines we read and our conversations. So we need to replace the harmful input with wholesome material. Basically, make good choices. Make good choices. When you get that inside check, not to watch something, turn it off. And when you start to pick up something and you're reading it and it doesn't agree, close it up. Close it up. It isn't for you. It's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you something. You don't need that kind of garbage in your life. So we got to make those good choices. And when you come into sometimes, you get into conversation with people and then you realize, oh, where's this going? You say, oh, guess what? My mom's calling. I got to go. End the conversation. Get out of it. Because that conversation is going to lead to nothing but gossip, I'm sorry. And we know gossip is deadly. We don't need to get into gossip. You need to have good, wholesome conversations. And you do that by talking about the Lord. Because you can give testimony to what He's done in your own lives. I know what He's done in mine. And each one of us are a testimony unto Him. You think about where we came from. Man, what He saved us from. Thank you, Lord. You know? Well, you got that right, brother. Thank you, Lord. Above all, we need to read and to meditate on God's Word daily. Daily. And we need to pray. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. And if you need help, just ask God. Ask God to help you focus your mind on the things that are in verse 8. And it'll take practice, but it can be done. Why do I say that? Because you can do all things. Amen. Through Christ. He will give you the ability and strength to stay focused on His Word. I like that last sentence. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Well, we just praised Him this morning. It's so good to praise God. In Psalm 106, verse 1, praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. All the time, and all the time He is good. His faithful love endures forever. And this was an add-on. So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And I thank the Lord when the Holy Ghost intervenes and says, you need to tell them that I'm just not a father. I'm a good father. Yeah. And I say, oh yeah, okay. So He took me to Matthew chapter 7. And He said, I want you to read to them verses 9 through 11 here. And then there's Jesus' words. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask Him? He's a good, good Father. You got to ask. You got to ask. And then you got to be patient for the delivery. You don't ask and say, come on now, Lord, I want it now. And you're going to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute here. You didn't say, thank you, Lord. I know you heard me. I know you'll take care of that. I don't have to worry about it because I got confidence in you, Lord. That's where that comes in. We just want it like we're going up to a Mac machine. Don't work that way. Don't work that way. Now, if you can't work, that's a different story. But if you can work, you go out. He'll find you a job. And you can't be choosy either. You know, you start here. You don't start here. But you know what I found out? Most people, they want to start here or one step down. That's all. They want it close. You know. I won't go on with that. Okay. But His faithful love endures forever. Forever. Another word for faithful is steadfast. And it means firm and unwavering. That's His love for us. His steadfast love endures forever. When you stand firm in Him, you are standing on His steadfast love. Okay, Nick, what's love got to do with it? That's it. Everything. Now, Lamentations chapter 3. Verses 22 through 23, the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for His mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Yeah, His faithfulness. You know what faithfulness means? Firm in adherence to promises made. His faithfulness to the promises He made. He made the promises. He made the promises. Thus. Now that leads you right to Numbers. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man, so He does not lie. He is not human, so He does not change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Question mark. Has He ever promised and not carried it through? Question mark. No and no. And for that, we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because in Psalm 92, verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. He has never spoken or failed to act where He has spoken. And every promise that He's made, He's carried through. And He will continue to carry through on His promises. Because they're His promises. Because He's not a man. And He does not lie. The devil might want to make you think, but see, the devil's the liar. He wants to bring in deceit. He wants to convince you otherwise that they're not for you. Don't let him convince you that healing's not yours. Amen. Healing is yours. Prosperity is yours. Your good, solid, emotional state is yours. Yeah. It's yours. Satan works on us all. Works on a pastor just as well. Just so you know that. Psalm 86, verse 12. I will give thanks and praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forevermore. One more for you. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure His greatness. No one can measure His greatness. His power and His might. He is the great I am. He is the great I am. And yes, this was another add-on. So, and this is found in Exodus. What did I read? Exodus chapter 3. This chapter 3, verses, yeah, here we go. 13 and 14. Like I said, He's the great I am. Verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is His name? What shall I say to them? Eliak, Asha, Eliak. And that is a translation of God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. And that's a common English translation. But it is also translated, I am that I am. You've probably seen that in your different versions. How about, I will become what I choose to become, He said. I am what I am. Or I will be what I will be. How about this one? I create what I create. Just look around. Look around at a person next to you, sitting there. He created that individual. He created you. Created you in His image. In His image. You love to picture God, right? You get this great feeling. So when you look in the mirror, you're looking at what God created. It should bring a smile to your face because you're made in His image. Made in His image. You look and say, well, I'm not perfect. You've been made perfect through Jesus Christ. You're not the person that somebody else tried to tell you who you are. You are a wondrous work. And a trio worked on you called the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Creation. I create what I create. When you focus your thoughts, let me put that, where you focus your thoughts will affect your ability to simply stand when a situation comes. Let alone stand firm. You see what I'm saying? Where you focus your thoughts will affect your ability to simply stand when a situation arises, let alone to stand firm. Or you can raise your hand and say, I've been there. I'm dealing with that. But I'm standing. And I'm going to continue to stand. And I'm not going to give up ground. I'm not giving up ground. Even though you may have shuffled a little bit, well, you can still, you just got to keep taking your progress step by step by step. And you know you're on your way back. Glory be to Him. Because if my mind would have worked the way it would have been, I would have just sat there and moped. I just sat there and moped. Now, I know there was a lot of prayer going on, but I had to encourage myself too. I had to beat those thoughts down. I had to beat those thoughts down. But I thank Jesus because I'm an overcomer, and so are you. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, the ERV, whoever hears this teaching of mine, this is Jesus speaking, and here's one, Brother Dean, obeys them is like a wise man. Okay, obey. Obedience. Obedience. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And does not obey them is like a foolish man. Okay, or where are we at here? Go back up here. Okay, back up to verse 24. Whoever hears these teachings of mine and obeys them is like a wise man. A wise man who built his house on rock. It rained hard, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house. But it did not fall because it was on rock. It was on a rock foundation. Verse 26 here. Whoever hears these teachings of mine and does not obey them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Do you remember when Jenna did a vacation Bible school teaching? She had two pools brought out here with water in them and sand. Anyhow, she brought them out here and I let her. But she put them up there. And what she did, she built a house out of concrete. And she placed it on a solid foundation. And then she took the other one and she took and made a sand foundation and put a concrete house on it. And she poured water all over this one over here. Nothing happened. She poured more water, nothing happened. She got water and she went over to this one and she poured water on it and the house went right off its foundation and fell into the water. And then the next one she pulled, it just started to flood the water over top of the house. I thought that was a good demonstration she did that year. It rained hard, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a loud crash. Hey, here we go. The Word, the Word, the Word. Foundational. Foundational. When your house is built on the Word, it will stand firm, and it will not be brought down by any storm. By any storm. You know what it tells us? Word up. Word up. That's what that tells us. Word up. As we read and meditate on His Word, it will build a confidence. A confidence and a trust. A confidence and a trust in Him. When He says, don't be afraid, we can have the confidence to not be moved by our situation. Plain and simple, we won't be afraid. We won't be afraid when our confidence and trust is in Him. Because in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25 and 26, you will not be subject to terror, for it will not terrify you, nor will the disrespectable be able to push you aside. Because God is your confidence in times of crisis, keeping your heart at rest in every situation. God is your confidence in times of crisis, keeping your heart at rest in every situation. Heart here is your spirit. Your spirit will be at rest, free from anxieties in every situation, no matter what. Anxieties are apprehensiveness, fearfulness, fretfulness, edginess, tenseness. I know you like the willies, the jitters. And Vic, I thought of you, this one, I don't know why, because I guess because age. Oh, yeah. The heebie-jeebies. Have you heard that one in a long while? The heebie-jeebies. I thought, okay. You know, some of us that are up there in age, you know, recognize those ones, the heebie-jeebies, right, Callie? You know, you say that to some kids now, and they look at you like, well, okay. They have no idea what you're talking about. But the opposite of these is calmness. Is this calmness? And who brings calmness? Jesus. Jesus brings that calmness when there's that fearfulness, the fretfulness, the edginess, the tense, when the heebie-jeebies come on.
Right.
Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 39. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up. Now, just so you understand, you guys have heard this before when they say, we identify it with snow because we're Western Pennsylvania people. A squall. We know when we had them snow squalls, when they come, they're like lights out. Now, can you imagine rain at that intensity? Rain at that intensity? And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. It was flooding. Jesus was in the stern. And I had to go to my Navy guy, and he said, "That's the back of the boat, Pastor." I said, "Okay." So Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, and he was sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, stretched a little bit, stood up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet! Be still!" Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. I go back to resting now. When the storms in your life, they hit, those situations that cause those anxieties. Well, let me say, whatever that difficulty is, I see it as you have two options. Two options. You can worry and assume that Jesus no longer cares. Or you can resist fear and put your total confidence and trust in Him. That's the two choices you have. And I hope you choose the second one. Choose wisely. He will bring the calmness. He'll bring the calmness to the storm so that you can ride it out to the other side where your victory is. and you heard what I said, you'll be able to write it out. Because when I read that, it kept coming to my spirit. Yeah. He spoke to the rain, and he spoke to the wind. But there was a calmness in the storm. They were still in a storm. But he brought the calmness in the storm to make it through to the other side. If you're going through a storm and you're trusting him, he'll make it where you can go through that storm. Because your victory is at the other end. As you continually put your confidence and trust in him, he will take you through to the other side. Because that's where your victory is at. Through the storm. But he can make the storm calm so you can go through it. Now, according to Proverbs 22:19, our trust and reliance and confidence are to be in the Lord. We read all the time, our hope is in the Lord. Hope. That confident expectation of good. Because God is good. And all the time. And all the time he's good. He is our helper in what we're going through. And that should give us the confidence to know in our heart we will overcome. We will overcome no matter what we face. Ain't nothing bigger than God. He's a big God. He's bigger than anything we're facing. And if God be for you, what can stand against you? Nothing. Now, here's one. Micah, chapter 7, verse 7. Now, Micah, this is what he said. As for me, I look to the Lord for help. I wait confidently for God to save and to rescue me. And my God will certainly hear me. Micah said, God will hear me. Micah showed great faith and confidence in God as he proclaimed that he would wait upon God. Wait upon God? Leads to another scripture, does it not? Because God hears and he rescues us. And he will help us in our time of need. See, what Micah has, we can have. We too can have this type of relationship with God. Yeah. That can allow us to have the confidence like Micah's. How is that, Pastor? It simply takes faith in God and a willingness to act on that faith. You can believe all you want, but there's a time of action too. Micah waited and he got what he wanted. He was confident. Make sure you put your confidence in him. Amen. Not in those who are practicing medicine. Okay? I'm not coming against them, but I'm telling you, you go to the physician. Let him bring the clarity to the situation for you. To open those physicians' eyes to seeing only what they need to see, not to what they summarize. Let the facts be known, but let the truth supersede. Amen. And the superseding means you are healed. Amen. By the stripes that were inflicted upon his body. His body was broken for you to give you wholeness. Yes, sir. And that's what you should claim every day. His body was broken for me, and I thank you that I am whole. Yeah. I am whole. And when your body tries to speak, you just speak right back to it. Body, this is what the Word of God says. and you speak to your body. Speak to it in faith. Make those faith-filled words. Not hope so, but faith-filled, it means you know so. Because when you said, Lord, come into my life, and you believed you're born again, and you're filled now with the Spirit, and you're going to go to heaven, well, that same principle applies to your healing. Same principle applies to the healing of our physical bodies. And we're living in a world that there's so much that goes on out there, and so much disease, so much sickness, you don't have to take it. When I told my doctor, he went in there, they said something about, this is before coronavirus. He said, did you get your flu shot? I said, no. You didn't get a flu shot? I said, no, I didn't get a flu shot. He said, oh, okay. He says, are you going to get it? I said, no. Why? I said, I don't get the flu. He just looked at me. I don't get the flu. I said, I don't get colds. I don't get sick. He looked at me. Said, you don't get sick. I said, no. I said, I take aspirins. I said, no. I'll admit that. I take my aspirin. And I said, I could ask you a question, Doc. I says, did you get sick this year? I just asked you, did you get the flu? He said, well, I had a mild case of the flu. I said, did you get the shot? He said, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And I'm not against getting the flu shot. I just know where I stand.
That's right.
And that's when they said, well, how about this shot? I said, no. You don't get any? I said, no. I don't get that. Okay? But that's where I stand. I'm not telling you not to do what you want to do. I just know where I stand. And, you know, and to me, if somebody says, hey, I'm going to go to flu shots, okay. But I hope they pray, and when you get it, you say, I thank you, Jesus, that this will go in and do exactly what they tell me it's going to do, and it'll take care of that strain. But what about the other 20 strains now? It's an ongoing thing. You know, viruses are interesting. You want to talk about viruses and learn something? Talk to my son-in-law, Joe. Man, he can open up your eyes to what, you know, what we hear and what we need to differentiate sometimes in these viruses. I mean, that's what he teaches on, those kind of things, you know. So when I need little clarifications on things, I always go to him. I go to him. Hey, where I don't have knowledge, I know people I can go to. I need a question answered. I know when I can go to Doc and I can go to Michelle. They're doctors. They got degrees. I don't, but I go to them, and then I take that, and I pray about it, and let God lead me to what I want to do with my life. And I know what he's told me to minister to you. And I'm going to give you the word. And so when I give you these things, I'm just telling you, well, how the word works, and it's worked for me, and I'm going to continue to work in the word. And I'm going to continue saying that there is no weapon formed against me that shall prosper. And there's no sickness or disease that can attach itself to my physical body. That's what I stand and I say for myself. Wow, we got way off track here. I am sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Thank you, Lord God, for intervening. All right, where were we there? We got out of the boat, right? Okay. Okay, yeah, that was right. Micah 7, okay. All right, I guess I didn't get down. Okay, we talked about, how about Matthew chapter 9? Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30, amplified. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, screaming loudly, have mercy and compassion on us, son of David, Messiah. When we went into the house, the blind men came up to him. Now they all went in the house. And these two guys, they must have had somebody helping them, lead them into the house. And they went right up to Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe? Do you believe with a deep abiding trust that I am able to do this?" He also said that to Jairus, didn't he? When they said, "Hey, your daughter's dead." "Oh, wait a minute. I already said she wasn't going to die. Do you believe in me as able to do this? And let's just keep going." And he did. Well, we know how that story came out. But when he asked them this question, they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, your trust, and confidence in my power and my ability to heal, it will be done to you." And their eyes were opened. Now, Jesus can't touch your eye, but he can through faith. He can heal your eye. He can heal whatever is in your body that needs healing. He can pinpoint it. And he reaches out. And if you need a point of contact, that's when you go to the elders of the church and let them lay hands on you with the anointing oil and be in total agreement. You got to be in agreement what you're coming up for prayer for. When you're praying for this specific healing, and you come up, now if I ask you the question, what are you believing for? You tell me what you're believing for. And that's what I'm going to agree with you for. But make sure that's what you're agreeing, because if you're just come up and going to say that in word and not believe that, and I'm going to believe and put a word on it, nothing's going to happen. It's not going to happen. You got to be established. You got to have your commitment to looking to him. Got to be focused on him, folks. It's not about you. Not about me. It's about him. It's all about him. God is just so good to us. It took simple faith in Jesus and a willingness to act on that faith by them. And they acted by saying, "Yes, Lord." And he just reached out and touched him. Now when you reach out with your heart and you're praying, he'll meet you right there and then. He'll meet you right there and then. And then you take the confidence in knowing that he done heard you, he done healed you. It happened right then and there. No matter what your body feels like, you've got your healing. Don't let anybody try to rob you of that fact. Right. And for some of you, don't go and tell them, "Hey, where's your faith at?" You just say, "Hey, I'm praying for you, brother. I'm praying for you, sis. I'll continually stand in agreement with you." And that's what you do. You don't have to preach to them. But I've heard enough people preach to them. And the more you hammer them, the more they get into condemnation. And then a condemnation leads them to going down a path of unbelief. And then they don't want to talk to you. They don't want to talk to other Christians because they feel they're going to get the same thing. They need encouragement. They need you to show compassion and understanding of what they're going through. And I'm going to tell you, because some of us, some of the things, you can't explain it till you've experienced it. If you've been through something, you know. And that's what Denny just told me this morning. One of the ladies that works in his shop, may I say her name, Mary? Mary, she just had a hip replacement. Came home, was home 2 days. 2 days, and fell out of bed and broke her leg. On the one they did, I know what she's going through. I know the pain. So keep her in prayer. So, I mean, she's worked for Denny, what, 20 years, you said? 20 years. But you can't sympathize with someone that hasn't, if they haven't gone through it. Now, I know what she's going through. I know what she's going to have to deal with on this comeback journey. All right. Okay, here Jesus said, according to your faith, your trust and confidence in my ability and my power to heal, it will be done for you. And their eyes were opened. Now, in Proverbs 22, verse 17 through 20, listen carefully and hear the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them in mind, incorporating them as guiding principles. Let them be ready on your lips to guide and strengthen yourself and others, so that your trust and confidence and reliance may be in the Lord. When you place your total trust, reliance, and confidence in the Lord, it enables us to stand. We have found that our confidence is not found in man. You know, just look at who you talk to, turn it on the news, you know. But in Proverbs 29:25, it says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever leans on, trusts in, and puts his confidence in the Lord is safe, and he's set on high. He will exalt you on high. Safe here, right? Protected from danger, not likely to be harmed. Fear of people can hamper everything you try to do. In extreme forms, it can make you afraid to leave your home. Look at the time we're living in. But by contrast, fear of God, I'm talking about respect, reverence, trust, and confidence. It's liberating. It's liberating. It is freedom. It is freedom. In Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4, but when I am afraid, I will put my confidence in you. Yes, I will trust the promises of God. They're His promises, and He doesn't lie when He makes a promise. And since I am trusting Him, what can mere man do to me? In 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58, but we thank God for giving us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. So now, beloved ones, stand firm and secure. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruitfulness that endures. We are what? More than conquerors through His love for us. Romans 8:37. We are to stand firm and secure, living our lives with an unshakable confidence in the Lord, because God has made us victorious conquerors through Jesus. Victorious conquerors are overcomers. Overcomers. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 5. You see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. Verse 5. This seals the deal. So who are conquerors defeating its power? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Those are believers. Believers are mountain movers, water walkers, more than an overcomer. Amen? And we're going to stop there and